This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
March 19th, 1992. First service of the spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey is the speaker.
We can't be sent the way Jesus was sent to us, can we? Because he was sent to save the world. To be a propitiation for the sins of man. That means that is a sacrifice that covers every broken point of the law. Every one of them. Everything that was broken in the law, it covers it. And nothing you can do that it won't cover. So you can't be sent for that same reason. But the word send there, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The word sent meant that he had to leave this place that he was to go somewhere else. Now that's all it meant. If you look that one up too, you'll find that to be true. But he had to leave somewhere to go out. Now he said, just like I had to leave, that I'm sending you. Now I want you to leave this comfortable place of hiding in your church and just listen to this good word. And I want you to get out there and make some devils mad. Now, that's how he sings this. How do you make devils mad? Well, you got three things to work with. You've got the Word of God, you've got the name of Jesus, and you've got the blood of Jesus. And that's not all you got. But what else do you need? If you've got Jesus, what else do you need? And he was enough to cover every broken point of the law, so he's enough to cast out every demon that's in the earth today. And one day he's going to say, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. And by the words of his mouth, he's going to destroy every demon on the face of this earth and send them right in to that deepest burning pit spoken of as hell. Hear people talking about the devil in hell. That's a lie. The devil's never seen hell. He doesn't. He don't ever really want to, but he's going to. He's going to be put there. But that's not where he was. He was never put in there. He was never put there. He was sent to the earth. And he is here harassing God's people. And he's out to separate you from your God. And that's what we're about. That's to stop this harassment of God's people. That's what deliverance is. And it's not for your benefit, but it's for God's benefit. It's for people that will get so much in the fear of God and so much in the love of God that they will turn their back on the things of the world, and they will circumcise this flesh and just cut it off, and they'll dig into the Word of God and go with God and allow God to be God. And we'll get more and more and more God. So, he's asking us, or not asking us, he's sending us out of the comfort of our shell. I'm not sending you out of your church. I'm not telling you to leave your church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you to get in a cocoon with God first, to gain the knowledge, and to seal yourself in with the Lord. Not so much that you don't see mankind and get away from mankind, but a cocoon, what does it do? There's an old worm that goes in that cocoon. And he seals himself in there, and through a metamorphosis, he changes. He changes. And what comes out? The most beautiful butterfly you've ever seen. Beautiful wings. It comes out a different object than what went in. And that's what I'm saying to you about going and sealing yourself in with God. And we are a changing people. We'd better be. We'd better be a changing people. This word won't change, so we've got to. And we've got to conform to the word. That means we've got to change, so we've got to go with that. Okay, back in this scripture that I was just reading here. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he spirited on them. Breath, spirit. And he portrayed the Spirit of God out from himself onto his people. Now, the Holy Ghost had been used over and over again all through the Word of God, but it was sent for a specific job operation, and he did the work. Always, he did the work. I never knew God to fail. You ever know God to fail? Okay. Sometimes it looks like God's not moving. Why? Because we fail. We fail. And we tied his hands, but the Holy Spirit never fails. And that's what happens. We tie God's hands. And we do it, we call it in our church, by opening doors. And that means that we disobey God. And we open the door to the devil, to a demon. And we allow him room in our lives. And once he gets in, he won't leave of his own accord. Did you know that? There isn't a demon that will leave its own accord except for a dead body. He'll leave a dead body, and that's the only time he'll leave its own accord. It won't stay in a dead body. But the rest of them have to be cast out. You say, well, no, I don't see all that many demons at work in people. That doesn't mean they're actively working. They're dormant in people. And if you give them enough strength, they'll show up. For instance, let's use homosexuality, because that's one that everybody abhors and hates, and it's one that will show up in a person. I have people come to me and I say, I see a spirit of homosexuality on you. I'm not a homosexual. I didn't say you were a homosexual. I said you had a spirit of homosexuality. And if that thing is not gotten out, in time you will become a homosexual. And it will happen. And even though that person has that spirit, that is, they're not homosexual. And you see it. You've seen people with spirits. I don't know whether you ever recognized it or not. A homosexual young man that's not practicing, he's effeminate. He wears his hair in a certain style. He wears his clothing a certain way. You can see it in the natural. I'd like rather the Lord show it to you by the Spirit, though. And when the Lord shows it to you by the Spirit, it's right, you see. And that's how demons work. And they're there, and they're dormant. And just because you don't see them actively at work does not mean a demon is not there. We tell people when they come for ministry, if I call something out of you, don't you say I haven't got that. You just say, if you're in there, come out. And don't talk. I don't mean say it out loud. You think this. When you're being ministered to, don't talk. And don't call on the name of Jesus. Don't call on the name of Jesus. They won't come out over there either. You just silently agree with the person that's ministering deliverance to you that this has to go, that you want no part of it. And if you really want deliverance, set yourself apart with the Lord. I mean, really set yourself apart and get right with God. There's one more verse in that scripture. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and to whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And I said, Lord, that can't be right. How could I remit people's sin? And of course, don't tell me God don't have a sense of humor. He puts up with us, doesn't he? He's got to have a sense of humor to put up with us times when we get ignorant like this. We have to forgive, is what he's telling us. We have to remit that sin back so that we free them from the bondage of the sin that is on them so that God can work in their lives. I'll have to use my wife's testimony here at this point because it's such a good one. She's a good housewife. She keeps her house clean and she polishes furniture. One day she's polishing the furniture. And I got a little library table in a small hallway-like. And it has a base down under the bottom. It's almost as big as the top, but it has legs down under the base. And you have to get out there and dust that too. She's down on her knees dusting, and she's praying for her son. Our youngest boy, that was years ago now, he's a member of our church and has three beautiful children, and they are all very much involved in the church. I've got a 9-year-old that'll cast out a demon before you know it. You just better watch her. She'll cast it out. All on her own. I mean, all by herself. But he wasn't even married at this time. And she was praying to him, Lord, will you save that Martin? He needs you, Lord, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, take your hands off of him. What? The Lord says, take your hands off of him. I've got control of him. As long as you've got a grip on him, I cannot leave. And when you release him unto me, it wasn't a short time Martin was saved. So, we have to free some things that are very dear to us. When we decided to serve God, just to serve God, and I mean serve God, not go to church. I've been in church all my life. I mean all of my life. And it proves the scripture over in Proverbs when it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved till I was 47 years old. I wasted 47 years. But praise God, he didn't give up on me. And God dealt with me, and he brought me through all this, and including all that sickness I talked about. Man, I should have died then. There wasn't any reason for me to live in the doctor's view. I had one chance in 100 to ever walk again, is what they gave me, and a 50-50 chance to live. They had already operated on me, and now, then they said it was a 50-50 chance beyond that, because they couldn't stop the infection. And he brought me through all of that. And God's dealing with your children. Now, don't you get so caught up with your children that you lose sight of God. We had to turn our back on our family. I say that in that word because it was they that turned their back on us in reality. But we had to choose God. And as we did, they denied us and walked away. Every one of our children. When we said, you're fanatics. You don't need to be that way. You're a fanatic. And they just left. But God brought them every one back. Even the son that's not even saved yet. He'll say, Mother, pray for me. Pray for me. He said, put those angels back around me. She says, I do every day. He's a mechanic for DuPont. Got an acid spill out there, and nothing but the grace of God kept him from getting burned to death in an acid spill just last week. And she had put the angels around him that morning. He works on those high towers in that big plant out north of Memphis. He said one night out there that wind hit so that you couldn't get down off of the tower. Blowing so hard. Came up from that tower. She put the angels around him. He had to go in a tank and pull a dead man out. He had died breathing the fumes in a tank. It was clean. He had to go in and pull him out. He had his angels around him. Angels are real. Angels work. Angels protect us. Scripture says we must forgive. If you don't forgive, how can God forgive you? That's what it says. That's what it's talking about. So that explained that scripture to me, and it looses the binding that we placed on our fellow man when we forgive him. Of course, you've got many other scriptures on forgiveness. You can just go in. And they say it so very plainly, but that explained that one, and I hope it explains something to you tonight. Because we're trying to get the Word of God in our spirit and let it really work deep in our spirit and begin to work and understand what God's saying. As we look at the Scriptures, I hear people say, well, you know, all of this power of the Spirit and the speaking in tongues, all that passed away with the disciples. Acts in the 8th chapter. Now, Philip hadn't been with Jesus. Philip was one of the deacons, I believe, wasn't he? Wasn't Philip named the deacon? And it got hard on the deacons. It got hard on all Christians. And they all took off and ran. They had to leave. And they left Jerusalem and they spread out. Sometimes God allows the afflictions to hit his people so that they get uncomfortable and they begin to do something other than sit in the normal way they sit and hide their heads in sand and say that nothing can touch me. I don't see any problem. And they hide their heads in sand. But he sent these men out all over the country. And this is one on Philip, I believe, is where this one goes. In the 8th chapter, Philip went down from in the 5th verse to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. Now Philip was a man that hadn't even been with Jesus. Jesus was dead, and the power of God still working. Healing is going on, miraculous healing. Remember back earlier in the book of Acts when Paul, not Paul, Peter came to the beautiful gate, and that lame man lay at the beautiful gate, and he asked for a coin to because he was a beggar, and he was lame. We sing that song in our church. Our children love it. They go through. We sing the whole song. Silver and gold have I none, but such as have in the name of the Lord, rise up and walk. And Peter, knowing who he was and the authority, that delegated authority that had been placed upon him, reached out and got him lifted up. So did old Philip over here. He and delegated authority. Jesus is dead, still working, remember now. Still working. Delegated authority has been working. He said, go in my name. And he's out there working. And what did it say happened out there? Unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and they were taken with the palsies, and they that were lame were healed, sickness, lame persons got healed. I believe I see the day and limbs go back. That's what he's talking about. Lame people. And with God, nothing is impossible. And I want you to realize that and quit looking at the circumstances and look at the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ and His provision for you. He says, I have already given it unto you. It's already yours. And over in the 16th chapter, Paul was not among those that had been with Jesus. Yet he saw Jesus, on that road to Damascus that time. But in the 16th chapter, in verse 16, it said, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, having brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, fortune-telling, and witchcraft. Operating. Do you know it's prevalent in the land today? You know that there are any witches? Did you know witches are in the country today? Did you know that there are witches operating? I wouldn't surprise me that every person here in your church is a witch. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Why? What else would they do? They're there to destroy. They are their father, the devil. They came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And their mission is to get in and to look just like Christians. And to do as much damage as without being detected to get the damage done. And they will whisper. Those who lost 20, 21, 22 people one day to a campaign like this. And it goes out to all these people. Just one guy. There's a witch. That's all it was. It was a witch. I got another one. That's all right. There's another one. I know it though. That's all right. We're protected. We're working on that one. I mean, this one's in bad shape. So, no problem. So, this young girl operating in witchcraft, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her, and it came out the same hour. Now, how can a person say a word or two like that and cause that kind of action? Something that will move with that kind of power to cause a spirit to leave. And if you've never seen one of these things operate, you've something yet to see. We minister hard deliverance in our church. We call it on-the-floor deliverance because sometimes it takes seven people to hold one person. They manifest, let me tell you. And yet I've seen that same person that took seven people to hold. I've seen my wife set her down in a chair and say, I bind you in that chair in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I place an angel on every leg and on every arm. Don't you get up. And then minister delivers to her, and if she can't move, she'll fight every way she can trying to get out of that chair. And then when she gets through, she says, how about taking these angels off me? I'd like to get up. Now that's real. I'm not making up stories. I'm telling you the things, the way the Lord moves When you're sold out to the Lord, now it takes two people sold out. The Lord will, let me show you something else. The Lord, you say, well, I see the Lord move in people's lives that don't even know the Lord. That's true. God will make a miracle in the life of an unsaved person or especially a new Christian. And he'll do it again. And he'll do it again. And sometimes he'll do it again and again. But there comes a time when he says, stand on the Word of God. You stand on what you know from the Word of God. You can't believe, the Lord can't believe for you, and I pray for you and get this off of you and out of you. It's up to you because you have enough Word in you that you've got to do it. Now, I've seen this happen repeatedly, over and over again. That's happened to me, much to my shame. My wife prays for me, man, did you ever pray for me? And there came a time when it wouldn't work anymore. And I had to stand for myself. But you get lazy, you know. We all get lazy. And we love to depend on a good wife that'll pray for us. But there comes a time when you have to have fellowship with your Lord. And to make it worse in your life, you've got to have the fellowship with your God. All right, he gave you that delegated authority over in the 10th chapter of Luke. You know the basic scriptures. I'm trying to stay away from so many of the basic scriptures that we use all the time in our church, but in the 10th chapter of Luke, can't stay away from this one. The 70 returned in the 17th verse with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through what? The name of Jesus. That's your biggest key. That's your biggest instrument of warfare. Whether you know it or not, you're in warfare. You might not be actively fighting, but if you're not, you better get to fighting because you're going to succumb to the enemy if you don't get up and fight. And he's going to get you. I mean, he is out there trying to kill you, and he's going to get a good hold on you if you don't fight back. And there's no such thing as a passive Christian, because you won't be passive, you won't be Christian long. You're either for God or you're against God. There's no in-between ground. You're either for God or you're against God. There's no in-between ground. And you've got to get up and fight. And we have that name of Jesus that works when we believe, and it'll work just like what read over there in the 16th chapter of Matthew. But Peter, who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? Well, it'll work in accordance to the way that you know Jesus is in you. And if Jesus is Lord in you, it'll work every time, and I mean every time. This word, what is it? What do they claim? How many promises? Anybody who's got that? 3,000? 30,000? What? 3,000 promises in the Word of God. Isn't that? Does that sound right? You ever heard? Huh? 32,000. Do you know that every one of them will work? Do you know every one of them will work every time? You say, they're not working for me. They're not working for me, though. Why? Because we've opened doors. When we are committed to God, every word of God will work every time. Every promise that God made will work. Now, you might not get the way that you want what you want in your life, the thing that you want. I stand on that scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then He'll add the things that I need. He says, I'll take care of that. Quit praying for yourself. Start looking out for the needs of others and start helping somebody else. He says, I'm going to take care of you when you take care of my people. But I'm not the minister. Yes, you are. He said, I give unto you the ministry of reconciliation, which means you reconcile people to God. How do you do it? By separating them from the devil. That's the easiest answer I know. Is to get that problem off of their life. Am I going too long, Glenn? Am I going too long? All right, let me use one more scripture real quick. Now let me finish this one first. He said, behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Now I use power twice there. I use two different kinds of power. He said, I give you the ability and I give you the authority. Amen. Both sides, covered both ways. You have the right to tread over the enemy. Over all of, well, he said serpents and scorpions, which are representative of the devil and his hordes and cohorts. And he says, I give you the right And not only the right, but I give you the ability to walk on him. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. So don't get proud over the fact that God moves because we have cast out a devil. We spoke. Got to have a man speak. Somebody's got to do it. You've got to have a believer. God never moves without a believer. He said it takes faith for God to move at any time. And faith is what is faith? The simple, most simple explanation of faith that I can give you tonight is believing that God will do what he said he would do. Now, believing encompasses the fact that I walk in it. I'm not just mentally assenting that that's right. Many people believe the Word of God's true. They don't believe it'll work for them, but they believe it's true. They're not walking in it. But the belief that the Bible uses, read it in the Amplified Bible. That's where you need to read it. Adhere to and rely on is what it says. Adhere to and rely on. So if we adhere to the Word of God and we rely on the Word of God, it means we're actively involved in working in that Word of God and it working in us. You have no option, really, concerning deliverance. Everybody here ought to be operating in deliverance. Did you know that? They ought to be casting out devils. You believe that? First time I heard that, I said, me, not me. And you're talking about somebody else, not me. See, the background that I came from, I saw, especially when I saw spirit-filled people, I saw God move in a mighty way. And I said, Lord, how can you ever deal with this? How can you ever bring this person into a place where he can have fellowship with you as I see a spirit filled in him? And with the denominational teaching that I had, I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand spirit filled at all. Most people think speaking in tongues is spirit filled. There's a false speaking in tongues. I had a little girl curse the whole church one night. Everybody in it got sick because she spoke what everybody thought was most of it, not everybody. Few people thought were tongues. She's cursing the whole church. Counterfeit. And they all got sick. You think you can be cursed? It's not me. I'm a child of God. I can't be cursed. Baloney. You open your life to the devil, he'll curse you in a minute. He puts not only sickness on you, he'll kill you if you aren't careful. He'll take your life. And that's understanding where it's coming from. I'll finish with one of the more familiar passages that all the workers work in, Mark 16, starting in verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs comes from power. These signs, it means, if you find it translated other places, it means power, dunamis, comes from the word dunamis. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What they gonna do? In my name they shall cast out devils. Believers. This is a sign that follows the believer. Not the preacher. Not just the preacher, it's the believer. In my name you will cast out devils. They didn't stop there. He said, you shall speak with new tongues, and you shall take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, my goodness. Are you walking there? Or have you got room to grow yet? The Word talks about being perfect. Well, I said something about this tonight. Being perfect. When that word was coined in the... found that the King James Version of the Bible written in 1600, the word perfect had a different meaning in our language today. And if I say perfect today, you see something with no imperfection. No imperfection whatsoever. And when we see it in the Word of God, we say, well, hey, I can never attain to that. That's not what that word means. The word perfect in the Bible does not mean without imperfection at all. It would make the Bible alive. It did, because he said we're all sinners. And that means there's imperfection there. It means mature in the Word of God. perfect. We're no longer immature. We are a mature creatures in God's Word, and we're receiving that Word of God, and it is life within us, and we're growing, and the Word's growing. And it brings this life down in us and make a deliverance worker out of you. Yes, it'll make a deliverance worker out of you. You receive the Word. Words that I've spoken to you tonight, they're not fables. That's the Word of God. That's not my Word. I've added a lot of things that we see in my church. Not much. There's so much that happens that in that group, a little old group of people, that little handful, you wouldn't believe how God moves and manifests the enemy. Most people want a ministry. Most everybody wants a ministry. I never ran into but just a handful of people that didn't want a ministry. Everybody wants. They get in front of one of them things and they want to get up here and talk. Everybody wants to get up and talk. You want a ministry where you want to see God move? Get delivered. You will see the power of God. And if you want to really see it, watch Him manifest the devil. Make Him show Himself. And He hates that worse than anything I know of, is to be let somebody see Him at work. And that's what happens when you manifest the demon. And that's God moving through you in deliverance. And it's not you that's so great. It's my God that's so great. And I hope that through this campground, this time, that we will get a little better glimpse of what God wants to do in the world. I preach deliverance tonight. I don't always preach deliverance in my church. There's your deliverance preacher back down there. She's had laryngitis for 3 days. Some say it's a blessing. But I didn't. And we've really, really felt sorry. I think we really were hit, both of us. I'm just getting over it. I'm still hoarse tonight. I'm having the same thing. She's really not able to talk real good yet, but I want her to share because she preaches deliverance all the time, as she said when she was up here. And I'm not going to say we've got to have a balance in our church. A balance is half of this and half of that. Make it come out easy. You get the half good and half bad. That's not what we're after. But I want to share Jesus Christ, and I do that more. And you can't stay, even when I'm sharing Jesus Christ, I'm like her, I can't stay away from deliverance. It always pops up somewhere along the way. Every sermon I have preached in the last 10 years, or at least 8 years, since we've really been involved in it. If you want to see God move, you get turned on to God and say, God, use me in whatever capacity you want to use me. But I'm willing to be in deliverance. That's where you want me. Not everybody's going to get in deliverance. Like most people are going to hate it. And two college students from Ole Miss. I don't know. People in this area probably know Ole Miss. University of Mississippi down in Oxford. They heard about us. They came up. They were going to bring a friend. But he was doing something else that night, and they couldn't bring him. That was the only night they could come. So they picked up a black man on the street and brought him to us. They had him in the car before they realized he was drunk. But they brought him anyhow. When he got to the door, I saw him in there, and I said, "Yo, come on in." And I saw the black man. Well, we have blacks sitting out in my church all the time. Right? I can't tell the difference in color. Why should I? So he backed away. He said, "No, ho." I said, "There's white folks in there." I said, "I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there. No, not me." I said, "Yeah, come on in, brother. You're welcome here. Come on in." So he sat through the service and came at the end of the service and we ministered deliverance. They convinced him he needed some deliverance and they brought him down to the front and I was ministering to him. You never saw a fellow sober fast in all your life and ministered deliverance to that black man. He really sobered up, but that's not what took place. Two college students manifested, one on either side of him. Here I am down here ministering by myself, and I got a college student over here manifesting, one on this side of him manifesting, and this guy getting sober. And this one slips off in the floor and is running around under the floor with his head in a waste basket, howling like a dog. And I'm trying to hold on to the other to keep him from running, and most of them want to run out of the church. And I'm trying to keep him separated. I can't do anything with this, and I'm heavily getting some help down there. Do you know McCoy Wilbanks? You ever heard of Mac? Jonesboro? Well, Mac was there. He had gotten a hold of some literature from Win Hurley and got to meet Win, and he had been up there. And he got turned on to deliverance. He was in the church, and I got him down on the fellow on the floor and got him working with that one. But it was a sight to see the two men that brought the man to get set free, for them to both get set free that night. And like most of them, we never heard from them again. That was their only shot at deliverance. They came and left that night. And I found so many people, when they find that how God moves, they want to run. Fear of the Lord and the love of God will keep us walking with Him. That's not the guilt of running just from deliverance. I'm not talking about running from deliverance unless you're running from our God. We run in so many different ways. Children of Israel ran so completely that they were taken out of the land. They turned their back on them. They were completely taken out of the land. What about the children of America? Where do we stand? We say we're a Christian nation. Can we stand up and be counted? We allow abortion to be rampant in the country, that we're sound. Only a handful. And if you check the handful that's really out there against killing of the children, I wonder how many Christians you'd find in the bunch. You ever thought about that? Because I hear some of those people, and they're not Christians. But they're for life. Are you for life for your people? God wants you to be a warrior. This is an army. It's Christian warfare. It's a warfare. It's a very serious and very deadly warfare. If we didn't laugh about it, we couldn't live through what we go through. We make light of it, and we laugh about the deliverance a lot of times. But it's deadly serious. The devil has got a hold on some people that are, he's about to destroy them. We've got some in our church that are alive today simply because of deliverance. They'll openly admit it. It's a way of life. Not a one-time, two-hour deal. Or a one-night deal, or a week's deal. A way of life. Because the enemy's not going to give up on you. God's not going to give up on you either. I use the scripture in Romans 8:28. Says nothing can separate you from the love of God. It names all those things, either life and death and principalities and powers and so on and so on and so on, can separate you from the love of God. But you can separate yourself. Only you have that answer. And I wanted to plant some seed there tonight to let you get your eyes on what we're fighting. Maybe you don't see the battle, but it's there. Whether you see it or not, it's there. It's in your church. I don't know of any church anywhere that it's not in. In your hometown. It might be in your family. That's how I imagine it's in most of your family. In a very serious way. I know it's in your family, but I mean in a very serious way. But because of Jesus Christ, we can be overcomers. We say we are made overcomers, and the scripture says we are made overcomers, but we are made overcomers in Jesus Christ. And only as we walk in Him, and as we do what we're talking about tonight, well, as we let this word become alive in us, do we overcome. And if you'll read those scriptures in the Revelation to the seven churches of Asia that Glenn was talking about tonight, every one of them says to the overcomer. To the overcomer, every one of them, all seven churches. But to the overcomer will I grant, and he tells you what he's going to get. But the overcomer is who has won the victory over the devil. And if you sit back past it, the devil's going to walk on you. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Bless it to the understanding of every person here, Lord. Bless it to my understanding and believing that I can walk even further and deeper and closer. And I pray that those seven spirits of God shall be manifested within each one of us, especially that spirit of fear of God.
Yes,
teach us. Teach us, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you for what you're doing this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.